You're tuned to Deadly Choices Radio with your host, Sinead Clements.
Yes, that's right, you mob. You're listening to the Deadly Choices Radio on 98.9 FM for the best country. And I am Sinead. I'm a proud Kalkadoon Birra and Jitterwa woman from far north Queensland. Before I go ahead, I'd like to acknowledge the traditional custodians here that we're broadcasting from today and pay my respects to the elders, both past, present and emerging. So welcome, welcome. It's an awesome Wednesday night here to, you know, on the Deadly Choices show, our weekly show dedicated towards mob making them deadly choices. So remember, you know, a deadly choice can all be about eating healthy, remaining active in both body, mind and spirit, ensuring you keep up to date with your 715 health checks, resisting any temptation to pick up them smokes, or taking the right steps to put them smokes down for you and your mob. And you know what? A deadly choice that I'm making right now is rest, because I'm trying to get a bit more rest. But in the studio today, we're joined by dietitian Gemma Page and Deadly Choices ambassador and rugby league legend Petro Sevenesiva. So they're in the studio with us today. Plus, we'll have Dr. Claudia, one of our regular doctors who comes on from time to time and gives us a little bit of an update around COVID-19 and the vaccine rollout and where we're at with that. So Gemma, welcome.
Thanks for having me.
Yes, it's so exciting. So Gemma, can you tell me a little bit about yourself, where you're from and how long you've been with our organisation?
Yeah, well, my family, we're from South Africa, but I moved here when I was like two, so not really. Yeah. And then, yeah, like we grew up in Brizzy, Gold Coast region. I've been a dietitian now for about 4.5 years.
Wow.
Done some work out at Murrayma with the mob in far west New South Wales, and then been at IUE for about 2 years now and loving it. It's great.
Yeah, and so we're going to talk to you. Last week was National Nutrition Week, and so, you know, everything, we were talking about that. So we're going to talk to you a bit about, you know, what you do with the community, and I know I need some tips around some new recipes, so I might get that more for you. But, yeah, we'll have a little yarn to you later about that.
Yeah. So, yeah, it was Nutrition Week last week, and there was the National Nutrition Australia. They did their campaign called Try for Five. You guys might have heard about that one. Mm. And that's just aimed at trying to get us to eat more veggies and every day, more of the good stuff. I'm not sure if you guys know the stats, but 7.5% of adults are meeting the recommended veggie serves every day.
So wait, only
7%? 7.5%, yeah.
Crazy.
And if we compare that to something like sugary drinks, which is 9% every day, we're having like 9% of the population is having sugary drinks. So
on a daily basis, 9% of our population are having sugary drinks.
Yeah.
And sugary drinks are probably the worst, right? Like,
yeah,
you know, well, in a scale of dietitian, in the dietitian world, they're not great.
Yeah, well, sugary drinks on the one hand is associated with poorer health, whereas eating more veggies is better health. So it's all about that campaign's trying to get us to eat more of the good stuff in our diet. So, some of the benefits of veggies, you know, like a lot of people say, oh, can you just have a supplement, or, you know, get your vitamins,
we want
minerals
a quick
from
hit,
a supplement.
Quick fix and keep going, eh?
Yeah, and I always say it's kind of like the icing on the cake, supplements, whereas when you have the vegetables and the fruit itself, you've got all the fiber, you've got phytochemicals, antioxidants, all this good stuff that, you know, you wouldn't get from a supplement. So we're always trying to say food first approach is the best way to do it. And then, yeah, you've got different nutrient profiles in your different veggies. So like your green veggies might be high in vitamin K, which help with normal blood clotting. Then you've got red veggies, which might have lycopene, which has been associated with reduced risk of prostate cancer, cardiovascular diseases.
So, yeah, right.
Just even if, you know, like, because it's easier said than done, eat lots of veggies. So it's like 5 to 6 serves a day, but we don't always get there, myself included. But yeah, your goal could be just to try have an extra serve of veggies. You might try add more variety of colours in your diet with the veggies. So
I like that, basing it on the colours, because I know, you know, I've seen athletes, influencers, whatnot, count their macros and micros, and that just seems a bit too complicated for me.
Yeah.
I've got plenty of other time. I need to put my time other places. But Petro, as an athlete, you know, what was eating healthy like for you?
Yeah, g'day, Sinead. It's great to join you guys here today. Look, I guess for me, it was all about, using food as fuel for performance. And it's really interesting, you know, when we're at Deadly Choices classes, you know, with our programs officers and, you know, you get a chance to speak to students. And it's really interesting sort of changing their sort of mindset around that, to see food as fuel. And, you know, if we're like a car, you know, we need to put in, you know, if we're going to work, you know, the best way possible, be good in the classroom and be good out, you know, on the out in the yard, you know, kicking the footy around and having lots of energy, it's really important to be focusing on putting in really good fuel. Yeah, it's just great, you know, when you have that discussion with kids and they can understand, you know, how important it is to put in good fuel, you know, and we spoke about the veggies and things like that. For me, it was such a big part of my playing career. It was funny, you sort of don't sort of think too much into it, but I guess when you, especially in those big games like a State of Origin and such, you got to have good fuel, you know, and it's about, you know, what you eat, you know, leading into a big performance, and obviously what you eat on game day as well. So all those sorts of things were very, very important to me as an athlete.
Yeah, it's funny because I had Gemma, and I was talking about this earlier. I had Will, one of our other dietitians, come in at the start of the year, and he was referring to fuel and carbs as a way of kind of, you know, explain eating. And he said, you know, you have a sports car, and you may have a bit of a people mover, you might not, if you have a sausage sizzle for dinner, you know, you're not going to essentially fuel your sports car with the fuel it needs to you know, zoom. But so yeah, I just found it interesting the way we look at it. Hey, Gemma, and we talked about that idea of changing our speech around food and our relationship with food and actually looking at food as if it is a relationship.
Yeah, because I often like to say foods aren't inherently good or bad. Mm. It's more of our dietary patterns over time. Mm. So you had a sausage sizzle with your family, like enjoy it. Have a social...
At Bunnings, enjoy it.
Yeah, enjoy it and then move on,
don't
you know?
Don't ruin the Bunnings trip. You got to have a sausage at Bunnings.
Because it's such a big social thing with food, you know. There's a lot of different factors. Well,
they say, what is that, the, you know, the world's language, they say, is food. But
how we connect.
Yeah, they used to say... I heard someone saying it was, I heard a musician, she also is a chef, she said, you know, they say music's the language of the world. And she's like, no, it's not, it's food. And I was like, yeah, I think she's onto something.
Yeah.
So Gemma, actually, you know, what kind of services do you provide for our community? How does that work when you sit down with a dietitian and you really want to, I guess, make sure you're eating the right things to look after yourself?
Yeah. Well, I think there's a dietitians, we've had a bit of a bad rap, you know, like the name probably doesn't
do. No pun intended.
Yeah. Well, you know, the first part of dietitian is diet. So people might be thinking, oh, they're going to put me on a diet, but it's not like that at all. We're really there to help people understand more about how food affects their health and support them in adopting healthier lifestyle choices. So that's what we're there for, just a bit of support and we mainly work with clients. We also do a bit with Work It Out, some of our programs.
And so do you kind of like build a recipe or you know, I from time to time meal prep, but I was and I'm sure you also, Petra, have done a bit of meal prepping in your time, but I always find it's not sustainable. When I'm in a season, meal prep's great, but when I'm out, I definitely kick the I loathe the meal I had, like, you know, lean turkey rissoles. I loathe that for so long now because I just can't look at it much anymore. But it's funny, we were talking about that sustainability and that long-term relationship. And also, if you're about to mix it up and you want to get a bit fitter, you want to lose a bit of weight, or, you know, you're looking towards something else, it's so important that you fit your food into your actual lifestyle, or, you know, perhaps changing lifestyles might be a bit different too.
Like I often think, like, I'd prefer, much prefer someone make little small changes, because it's all those little small changes we don't often think about that make the big difference in the year. I'd much prefer that to something like someone follows this crazy meal plan for 2 weeks and then go back to what they were doing before, because it wasn't achievable, wasn't sustainable long term. So yeah, there's that saying, how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. And it's very, very similar with nutrition, you know, just make little small changes for long term.
I've seen, my work going into the schools with our programs officers, you know, who do an amazing job, but, you know, with our Good Quick Tucker program, you know, just seeing the development of our young people, students that may not know too much about nutrition and know about cooking. You know, they may have not been in the kitchen and to help mum, dad or the carer, you know, prepare a meal. So it's great to see the excitement and the enthusiasm that you see in the young ones when they do get a chance to learn about these different foods and how, you know, you can eat healthy but eat really nutritious and taste really good as well.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I've been really lucky to sort of see that in action because, as I said, it's so great to see the kids, you know, get familiar with the kitchen, how to use the utensils, all these sorts of things that enable them as they obviously grow into adulthood. They're learning some really good foundation, pointers in terms of, you know, how to cook, how to eat nutritious and healthy.
It's a life skill, isn't it, Petra?
Exactly.
It's a life skill.
Yeah, it's great. It's great to see that. So, it's amazing work that goes on.
Start them young, hey?
That's exactly
like,
it.
Even, just setting up the table, get them to set up the table, mm-hmm. help wash in the fruit and veggies, yep. little small things. Like any exposure is good exposure.
Yeah.
The younger they start, the more they'll get used to it and be keen to get in the kitchen. So,
right.
Yeah.
You've got a chef on your hand.
Yeah, mums and dads appreciate that too.
Yeah.
My little sister, I think she loves cooking. And most of us, our mum's such a good cook that we're like, why would we ruin it for the rest of the family? And when I say most of us, I mean me. I'm like, why would I have make everyone eat my cooking when we can eat my mum's cooking? She's amazing.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's my thing. But, you know, it's funny how, like, they really like cooking things on TikTok. Like, even TikTok's so random, easy, quick. But, Gemma, I really love what you said about good and bad foods and changing that perspective of it. This food, you know, that guilt. I know I fall into a bit of a guilt coma when it comes to food where I'm like, oh, well, I ate that yesterday, so I might as well eat this today, right?
It's a bit of a cycle. Hey, it's,
toxic cycle.
You have a little bit of a binge and then you feel, oh, guilty. And then, you know, you're like, oh, well, now I'll restrict what I'm eating. Yeah. And then when you restrict, it's like a physiological response where your brain's like, give me sugar. So then you start craving those quick sugars again. And it's that cycle. You just keep going through it. So rather than having that mindset, try to just enjoy what you're eating and then move on to the next meal or snack and just trying to make it as good as you can each time. But yeah, like it's about enjoying all foods. All foods can be enjoyed as part of a balanced diet.
There you go, you mob. Yeah. If you just jumped into your car and you're wondering what we're talking about, this is the Deadly Choices Radio Show. I'm here joined by Petro Sevenasiva, one of our ambassadors and rugby league legend, as well as Gemma, who is a dietitian in our organisation who's just having a yarn. Give me some tips around, what does a good diet look like? And I don't even like using that word diet, right, Gemma? It doesn't seem right.
Yeah.
Based on everything we've yarned about, it doesn't even make sense to talk about it as a diet, but somewhat of a relationship with food and just really understanding your patterns and
it's those patterns over time. That's what we look at in consults. We know it's not that someone had some Coke that one time, or it's more the patterns, like what are you doing most of the time, because that's what influences our health, right? You know? So yeah, no one's here to judge. I think people get nervous when they see a dietitian, but it's not like that. Like we don't eat perfect. I love chocolate.
Funny. I don't know if you've ever done it, but with Petra, with trainers, they're like, here's a diary, write down what you're going to eat for the week. And I'm like,
A lot of it is behaviour change. That's what we, because a lot of people, we know what to eat. We know what's good for us, but it's that behaviour change. That's the hardest thing to do. And that's what, a lot of our job is trying to help people to adopt healthier lifestyle choices because that's what it's all about, health, hey?
Yeah, and Gemma, I talk to dietitians here. I talk to, our oral therapists and, our dentists and our optometrists, and they always come back to eating healthy is the best way to look after you. Not only, your physical, but your eyes, your teeth, your heart, everything.
Yeah.
It just really impacts literally everything in your body. But also one of the biggest things for me, Gemma, that I felt it impact was my mental health.
Yeah.
There's been times where I've stocked up on coffee, even during COVID when it got crazy, I stocked up on coffee and I'm driving home and I'm like, what? Why am I stressing?
Yeah.
Work is finished. Why am I stressing? And I would be like, wow, Shanae, you haven't ate all day. Of course you're stressing. Or you haven't ate since breakfast. Of course, you don't have the energy to process where you're at, or every kind of mundane thing like driving home seems a bit, the traffic's not even that bad and I'm stressing out. But it's funny, not funny, but I think it's so interesting how much our food actually impacts our mental health and our energy and where we have the ability to put our energy into.
Yeah, well, when you're eating well, you feel better. Mm. Hey, you've got more energy to keep up with the family. It it's literally affecting, you know, everything in your body. So even I think back in 2018, the third leading risk factor for burden of disease was dietary risks.
Wow.
So, and then when you look at things like cardiovascular disease, 40% of it's attributable to diet. Mm-hmm. So it's huge, you know. So yeah, like just enjoy food, but, you know, we can also help keep ourselves healthy and prevent these diet-related diseases, things like osteoporosis, dental caries, like you were saying earlier, some cancers. There's so many things that it's related to. So,
yeah. I, you know, I really like that, and that's what I'm going to do. I'm starting to train, I think, a little bit more so I can enjoy my food over the Christmas break, so I can enjoy Mum's cooking over the Christmas break. But I think some of the things, you know, one of my favourite meals is just like a stir fry with all the vegetables. How can you beat that? Like, I go to town on my stir fries when I get the chance. But Gemma, what is, I guess, any tips where we could, you know, you talked about starting small, but is there any kind of tips where you can, you know, go to, particularly in our busy lives where we, you know, we're looking to change what we're eating? And what do you have any tips for us in that?
Well, I think I often see a lot of the kiddies and their, like, mums and dads will be like, oh, they're not really enjoying the fruits and veggies. What are some ways we can get them to eat more? And I think, you know, just make it fun, whether it's some cheese sauce or like a broccoli and cauliflower bake, or you're making Mexican, adding some more veggies in there, pizzas, like make it fun, make it tasty. I think that's the biggest thing.
Can't beat a homemade pizza with everything.
Mm. Yeah, all the toppings. Yeah.
And Petro, what is your favourite deadly, you're a part of the Good Quick Tucker, and I know you love your cooking and your feed, but what is your go-to recipe?
Yeah, look, I love getting the kids in the kitchen. So I've got four kids and they're pretty passionate about getting in and helping out mum and dad, which is great. one of my youngest son cooked the other day some chicken pasta. It was beautiful. It was, really love it. Yeah. And we just, we chucked in some frozen veggies into it as well. And that in itself, you know, a bit of corn and broccoli, added a bit of colour. It was nice and easy and was done, you know, within 10 minutes. And, he did really well. And so, I think he's got a bright future, I think, in the kitchen. I keep saying to him, I said, you know, don't worry about footy or sport. You've got a hidden talent here. But no, he loves it, and as do all the kids. So, yeah, and, you know, we're talking about, you know, just getting our young ones early learning about and getting into good habits. I encourage any parents out there listening or grandparents, you know, get your kids into the kitchen and cook together, because it's a real family. Good bonding exercise too. You know, lots of yarning and having a bit of fun, a few spills here and there. But other than that, and, you know, you sit down to enjoy a great meal together. Yeah. You can't beat it.
Because even when kids are cooking, they're more likely to try it. So if you're struggling with those fruits and veggies, if they're grating it,
is the hardest part, right?
Yeah, like if they're grating it in there, they're more likely to want to try it because they've, like, you know, dealt with it a bit more.
That's it. The only trouble we do have in the kitchen is no one wants to wash up and dry. So I don't know. Any tips out there?
When everyone disappears,
let me know.
My mum was hell bent on the clean as you go, and so I think that's where I fell into the cleaning category, and she picked up the cooking category.
Oh, I'm a messy cook. Yeah. They say the messiest cooks are the best cooks.
Enjoy it all the way. But Gemma, thank you for coming on. And I actually, before you go, what's your go to meal that you like?
Oh, I love everything, hey. just food. That's why I'm in the field, hey.
Yeah.
I love Mexican food. That's always a classic every week. I don't really have a favourite as such. Just a bit of everything, I think.
Don't limit yourself is what I always say, you know.
Yeah.
Enjoy it all.
Yeah.
But Petro, I guess, you know, you've been keeping busy as well throughout the year. So we can talk about that. We recently had the QMC, the Queensland Murray Carnival, Rugby League Carnival here in North Brisbane, where we had a vaccine hub and we're making sure community had access to getting the vaccine, as well as, you know, Anastasia's made her recent announcement of the border, I guess, opening up and what that plan looks like leading up to Christmas.
Yeah.
So, you know, how was the QMC? And just even for me, it felt weird to be around so many people. I was like, why is everyone here? But it was amazing, honestly, to just see so many people in a long time come together and just have a hug and have a yarn and watch some good footy.
Oh, it was so good. It was an amazing week. And, you know, shout out to Albany Creek Crushers. And Justin Hodges is the president out there. To him and to his committee, they did a wonderful job. And obviously to our Yui, to all our Deadly Choices workers who were so amazing in running a wonderful event. It was a week of activity that, you know, we had all our little ones, you know, at the start of the week. And then obviously heading into our opens competition sort of later in the back in the week. And Sinead, it's great to see you out there and running amok and enjoying yourself. It was great. And, you know, it just, I think, to get community back together again to celebrate a game that we love, but, you know, just to, again, be mixing and socialising. Obviously, it's been a very challenging time with COVID and lockdowns and as such. And I think we're all nervously watching as we started to approach the date of the QMC this year. But thankfully, you know, we were able to take part in the competition. And, yeah, I guess one of the great innovations for the QMC this year was having the vaccine hub there adjacent to the playing fields. And it was just so good to see so many family members come in and get their shot. And obviously there were some great prizes as well that went along with getting the vaccine. But you could just see, and by talking to a lot of community members around the importance of getting vaccinated, and as you just mentioned there with the Premier, with their recent announcements of opening the state back up again, you know, those goals of reaching, you know, some of the milestones in the numbers that we need in the wider community to get vaccinated. So, you know, really encourage mob out there, you know, if it's something that you haven't got onto yet, please, by all means, just get in touch with your medical centre, and you can find out, you know, how you can get vaccinated. It's quick and easy, and you know, it's going to ensure that, you know, we get back to, you know, everyone being able to travel at Christmas time, getting to reconnect with family members. It's it's so important.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, and it's I've always said this, like, I'd much rather have the vaccine than the COVID disease.
Yeah,
so
definitely.
You don't know what the future holds for those who've unfortunately contracted COVID, because, you know, we don't know. So it's important that we do trust the professionals while they're here, and they're giving us the information that we need. And this is old kind of, I guess, science and what I've been told, and the conversations that I have with the doctors, they've definitely put my mind at ease. So, you know, we're always encouraging mob to have conversations, particularly with your doctors. You know, if you're going to go to social media to find information, go to the Deadly Choices Facebook page or Queensland Health, because we're definitely, you know, we're always making sure we put out the right information for the mob. But also we've had some of our team members, which I'm very jealous of, head up to Torres Strait Islands up north there and you know, do the good work with the community up there. Petro, tell me, you know, what it's like to go up to there, because you've been up there before, eh?
Yeah, I was actually fortunate enough a few months back to head up there, Nathan Apo and host of other ambassadors, and we just had a wonderful time up there, obviously engaging with the community, going to the schools, but also too talking about the importance of getting vaccinated. And I know Nathan is up there with Tyrone right now. They're having a week up there, sort of again visiting schools, going to the medical centres, and I'm sure, you know, they're doing a bit of fishing and doing all the good stuff as well. But
yeah, those boat trips, they come back all looking tanned and like they've just been on a holiday. Yeah. And I'm just jealous.
It is wonderful, and you know, it's such a beautiful community up there in the outer islands as well. But you know, the message is loud and clear up there too about just the importance of getting vaccinated. So I'm sure they'll have plenty of stories to tell, and we'll see lots of good photos on the Deadly Choices Facebook pages. And I'm sure Nathan and Tyrone have done an amazing job. And so, yeah, look, it's been a busy few months. We actually had our Little Deadlies Olympics day out, and Shanae did a wonderful job there putting that all together. Was there at Albion on the north side of Brisbane, and that was just on the weekend. And so it was great to see all our little future Olympians be inspired by Olympians that were there. You know, we had a wonderful representation.
Taliqua Clancy was there with their silver medal. Yeah. We had another fella named Jack who he was, I believe, got gold in 100-meter breaststroke.
Yep.
So we, you know, got to chill out with a gold medal. So there was, but it was interesting to see. And I was talking to you, Gemma, earlier, saying some of our little ones were just interested about what the Olympics Olympians eat and how they fuel their body to get to the Olympics, because they had a little yarn with our young ones at the end of the event. Just kind of, yeah, introducing them to the Olympics and what's that like and what does it take to become an Olympian and to train 4 years for an event, right?
Yeah.
So it was really interesting to see the kids really, what do Olympians eat?
Yeah.
And I think the real hit was obviously when Taliqua and our other Olympians, you know, showcased their medals,
mm-hmm.
and lots of little ones got lots of photos with those Olympic medals around their neck, and it was just such a great opportunity, you know, to get the mums and dads and little ones out there partaking in some really cool games and activities, obviously centered around Olympic events, and it just was so much fun. And again, Shanae, well, awesome job, and to all our programs officers that were in attendance on the day, it was a real hit.
Yeah, it's always good to get out there and back, like I said, back in community, be surrounded by mob again is always fun. So I absolutely love that. I get exhausted, them little ones, they got energy,
full of
don't
energy.
They?
That's it.
But speaking of school visits, you also do a lot of school visits throughout the year, Petro, which is awesome to get back into the schools. What's that been like for you?
Yeah, it's been great. You know, for quite a number of our schools, we've had some graduations, which has been great.
Deadly.
So for our students that have completed the Deadly Choices program, it's just great, you know, when you see them and they talk about their experiences of taking part in the program, and, you know, once they graduate, they get their Deadly Choices shirt, they've got their 715 health check. So it's really great to see that engagement from the kids, and then it's always, when are you going to come back again, you know? So again, you know, programs officers in the schools right across southeast Queensland do a wonderful job, and obviously all our programs officers across the state, into New South Wales, again, you know, doing some wonderful work in getting those important Deadly Choices messages out there.
Yeah, it's so important, and our Jarjums, our young ones at school, they're some of the best influencers going. I know my little ones are always in my ear about doing the right thing.
Hi, it's Petro Sivanasivi here, Deadly Choices Ambassador, and you're listening to DC Radio on 98.9 FM.
You're tuned to Deadly Choices Radio. With your host, Shanae Clements.
All right, welcome back, you mob. I'm your girl, Shanae Clements. This is the Deadly Choices show on 98.9 FM for the best country. And I'm joined by Gemma Page, one of our dietitians, as well as Petro Sivanasiva. Everyone knows who Petro is. He's our regular. He's our Deadly Choices ambassador, regular on the show. Always good to have a yarn. But Petro, there's been a bit of announcement recently in your backyard, I guess, hey?
Yeah, with the Redcliffe Dolphins being granted an NRL license, so it's amazing to see, you know, a club with so much history within the local Brisbane Rugby League competition now being able to venture into, you know, NRL. So it's something that's, I guess, very exciting for not just Redcliffe but that whole Moreton Bay region. And you know, Artie Beetson was you know, obviously a real figure point for the Redcliffe Dolphins. So I'm sure Big Artie would be smiling down,
absolutely,
you know, about this amazing news. And so I guess they'll be rivals to the Brisbane Broncos, Gold Coast Titans, and North Queensland Cowboys. And you know, I think in terms of the region, it's such a fast growing region too. So I think, you know, there'll be a lot of supporters out there that will get behind them. You know, not everyone.
First person, Wayne Bennett getting behind them.
Yeah, there you go. I mean, what great news for a brand new club to get a legend of the game in the coaching world as their inaugural head coach. So that's going to be massive for the club, and no doubt, you know, with his experience and his wealth of knowledge, he'll it'd be a real big attraction to players coming to the Dolphins because of who he is and what he's achieved. So, I think all in all, it's a real positive and, really exciting to see how that unfolds over the next couple of months.
And it seems like it'd be one of the first clubs that has a team in every competition throughout the state. Well, eventually I assume they'll get women's teams in there as well too.
That's
so
right.
That's really exciting for all those North Siders. I know women in the North Side too have been asking for a other teams. So yeah. It's going to be some really great stuff. And that's another tick for Queensland, hey? We'll be there soon eventually.
No, that's it. Yeah, so another great opportunity. Great, as you mentioned, a pathway for our men's and women's, boys and girls. You know, I was actually at the Dolphins Junior Trophy Night last Wednesday, and President Bob Jones actually spoke about how exciting it is that you can play for under sixes and go all the way to the NRL at one club. And he really challenged, I think, all the young people. Yeah, he's going to be the first junior to play for the Dolphins NRL team. So, yeah, no, exciting times.
Awesome. Now, well, before I let yous go, Gemma Petro, I want to know, Gemma, what is your go-to, I guess, deadly choice that you're making right now in your life?
Nothing in particular, but I think just consistency with little small goals, because lots of small changes lead to big results. So I think, you know, take out the intensity and just try to be consistent with all the little small changes.
Yeah, I like it.
I like that because I prefer to call myself a free spirit, but consistency is not my thing. And it's so hard for me to get that repetition, that routine. But once you do get it, it feels so good, doesn't it?
Yeah. And like, even if you feel like, oh, this is maybe too hard, just take a step back and say, how can I tone this down a bit? What's achievable for me long term, and then just try keeping consistent with that. Yeah,
deadly. Well, thank you for coming on today and having your yarn, Gemma.
No,
I really
Thanks
appreciate
for having
it.
Me.
We'll have to get you back again to talk about all those nutritious, tips and statistics that I really, really liked.
Yeah.
And Petro, your deadly choice that you're making right now.
Look, I reckon now that we're coming into the warmer months, it's definitely getting hotter. So it's keeping those fluids up. You know, making sure I've got a couple of litres of water, whether it's in the car or wherever I'm going, just making sure I'm very hydrated, which is great. And then, obviously passing that messages on to my kids as well.
Deadly. No, thank you both for joining, and we'll have to get you back again very soon.
Awesome. Thank you. Bye.
All right, you mob. Now I'm joined by one of our regular doctors, Dr. Claudia from Yulu Birraba Health Service there at Wynnum area on the west side. Oh, no, wait, east side, sorry. Dr. Claudia, how are you going?
Hey, good day, Shanae. I'm really good. Thanks for having me again.
Yeah. It's always good to have a yarn to our doctors, and it's so important right now because now, I just talked to you off air as well, and it seems like we'd been kind of saying a lot of the same things, get vaccinated, but now we've got some deadlines, don't we?
Absolutely. So now that Anastasia's revealed our pathway, I guess, out of this kind of COVID cloud that we've got currently, and that, you know, we're going to be able to visit family again, we're going to be able to have family come and visit us, and that we've got some clear vaccination targets to reach in Queensland so that we can actually kind of open our borders and have people visit us and return home to us. I guess it's made vaccination even more important to us now because we've got that clear-cut target. We've got that kind of light at the end of the tunnel to kind of see us through. And you know, I guess the targets are really clear. It's 70% vaccination, and we can have people visit as long as they undertake quarantine at home, and 80% vaccination. We can have people visit. They don't have to undertake quarantine of any kind. All they need to do is be fully vaccinated and have a COVID test that's negative 3 days prior to traveling. So it's really great that we can expect to be reunited with family who are fully vaccinated by Christmas time.
Well, you know, I know for me that's so, so exciting. And also, you know, we've got a few Murrays, a few Queenslanders over in the New South Wales borders. So I know they'll be very excited to get back to home for Christmas, hey?
Yeah, absolutely. It's super exciting to think that we can all be together with our families who are fully vaccinated for Christmas time. I know that I'm excited, and I think there's a lot of people out there who've been a long time without seeing family. So this is really exciting news that we've actually got a target to reach, and we've got some clear-cut guidelines on what we need to do to make sure that we can see our families for Christmas.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, testing and the vaccine, let's talk about that. So obviously testing is still so important because we need to understand what's happening in community, but vaccinations. Now, there also has been some reports saying, you know, those who are, you know, have been infected with COVID are vaccinated. So we've always said that the vaccination doesn't stop it, but what it does help is with the symptoms, right, Dr. Claudia?
Yeah, absolutely. So when you get your COVID vaccine and you're fully vaccinated against COVID, what it's going to do is prevent against severe disease, hospitalisation and death. And we've got some pretty good data to say that it also greatly reduces your chances of spreading COVID to somebody else. And that's really important to consider for, you know, our little people who can't be vaccinated yet. So our friends and family who are under the age of 12 who can't be vaccinated but can still contract COVID, and also for our older people or our people with medical conditions that don't allow them to be vaccinated. It's really, really important for us to be able to make sure that we're all vaccinated around them so that we can make sure we keep them safe as well. So I guess vaccination is still really super important, and it's really, really important that we uptake it now more than anything because we know that, we know that borders are going to be opening soon, and we know that people are going to be travelling. So we know that there's a risk of Delta coming to Queensland, and we know that that's inevitable. What we do want to make sure is that we're as well placed as possible to be protected ourselves from getting COVID and, you know, getting those severe effects, so severe disease, you know, ending up being hospitalised because we're unwell, or being in ICU, or you know, worst case scenario, passing away from COVID, because we're seeing those numbers in our southern states still significantly. You know, there's upwards of, you know, 5 to 10 people every day in the southern states still passing away from COVID. And that's really scary. And the vast majority of those people are unvaccinated. So we absolutely need to make sure that when these borders open, we are vaccinated as much as we possibly can be. So ourselves, our friends, our family and our community really need to make sure that we take control of this now so that we don't have to worry about things later on.
Absolutely. And for me, Dr. Claudia, it has always been about my Nana. You know, she's my favourite person to ever walk this earth. And she's my library. She's kind of where I get a lot of my cultural identity from as well. So, and it's funny, Briggs, one of the rappers, he's a New South Wales rapper, and he would always say, you know, hashtag protect Nan. And that's really resonated with me because from the get-go, it was always about protecting my elders. And, you know, I want my elders and my grandparents to be here for as long as they can. So my decision was a personal one for me, but it was really made for the vulnerable, for those who can't necessarily get the vaccine, unfortunately.
Absolutely. And we know that even if you do get the vaccine, we know that there still is a small chance that you can get unwell, but you want to reduce that risk so completely by making sure that you are fully vaccinated and that those around you and those that you love the most, like your Nan, are absolutely fully vaccinated, so that we run, you know, the least amount of risk of having anything happen to the people that we really love.
Absolutely. And I've a couple of weeks ago, you know, we had a yarn with Nola Wyman, one of the directors out of Health Service out at Wilcannia and Broken Hill. And at the end of the day, that's really what we're trying to avoid is going into, you know, the numbers that New South Wales and Victoria have been in and the death toll and not, I think what we don't see, you know, those are just the numbers, but what we don't see is kind of the impact that it has on our communities and our families. And not only their physical health from the disease, but the mental health is really just, it's been so devastating within so many
Absolutely.
Communities.
And I mean, when you think about, you know, losing loved ones, but also being separated from loved ones, so not being able to visit people in hospital, not being able to provide that support by going over to someone else's home and helping look after them and helping care for their kids, being in isolation, you know, those kind of things are really challenging from a mental health perspective. And they're the realities of people that are living in these COVID outbreaks that, you know, you can't go to hospital, you know, with your loved one whilst they're unwell. You can't visit them. You can't hold their hand while they're in ICU. You know, they're there alone. And that thing, you know, if you get COVID, you're stuck at home isolating. You're unable to see friends and family, particularly if they're not vaccinated, because it poses too great a risk. And we need to look after, you know, our young people around us. We need to look after our families. Who's going to look after the kids if mum or dad, who aren't fully vaccinated, end up getting COVID and have to go to hospital? Who's around to be able to take care of family? So we need to think about all of those things, and that it's not just devastating from a medical point of view, but it's also devastating, you know, our families from a social health point of view and, you know, a mental health well-being as well.
Absolutely. And, you know, hopefully soon enough where this plan that Anastasia has recently put together, hopefully that's the start of our way out, but definitely the vaccine is our best option. And, you know, I know as Indigenous people, as well as, you know, it becomes kind of a distrust and a bit of, you know, mandating things feels a bit pushed and forced. But at the end of the day, it's not about politicians. It's not about politics. It's about health. And our doctors are our best people to talk to. And so, you know, you mob out there, please, if you have any questions, take the time out of your day to talk to your local GP and make yourself, you know, give yourself the best information to make the right decision.
Yeah, absolutely. We're always really, really happy to have a chat to anybody who wants to find out more about the COVID vaccines and what it means for them and their own personal circumstances and their own health. And your GP is certainly the best person to talk to about that. They know you the best, they understand your health needs and they understand your family circumstances, and they're able to help you make a really informed decision about getting the vaccine and which vaccine is the right one for you at the time. But I think it's so important, especially now that Anastasia's released our, you know, pathway out of, you know, our borders being closed and us being able to be reunited with friends and family across the borders, that, you know, now more than ever, it's really important for us to have those conversations with our GPs and make an informed decision. So it's about taking, you know, taking ownership and taking responsibility and being, you know, confident enough with the information that you have to make, you know, a good decision for yourself and for your family and for your community. And it really is about stepping up and taking on that role of being a leader.
Absolutely. And, you know, have those conversations with your family. I know I have them on repeat. My family, even if they agree with me, they still get the lecture. But it's to the point where Christmas is what, eight weeks away, and, you know, who's counting?
Yeah,
not me counting.
66 or 65 days away.
Yeah, I'm ready for my break. I know you are, Dr. Claudia.
Yep, absolutely. It couldn't come quick enough.
But yeah, so, you know, in these next 2 months, please do the right thing by yourself, by your community, and by a vulnerable mob out there. A vaccine is literally the best way we can get forward right now. So I'm over these lockdowns. I want to get out and get back to a new normal. And at the end of the day, you know, our new normal, it includes COVID-19 at the moment. So make sure you go and get tested. There's testing clinics still out and about. And go and ask those questions, you mob.
Absolutely. We're always really, really happy to chat to people. So go and, you know, make an appointment to come in and see your regular GP at your local AMS. Come and have a yarn to our health workers, because they're up to speed with all the information about COVID. And we can really make, you know, the decision to have a COVID vaccine really easy and straightforward for you. So absolutely come on in, and we're more than happy to have a chat.
Yeah, well, thank you for coming on and having a yarn with me, Dr. Claudia, and from Experience Your Mob, chatting to the doctors. Dr. Claudia, they're always awesome yarns, the friendliest people going. So thank you for coming on and having a chat, and I'm sure we'll talk to you soon.
Awesome. It's always a pleasure, Shanae. Thanks heaps, and stay safe, everyone.
There you go, Mob. That's the doctor. So we'll be right back very soon.
You're tuned to Deadly Choices Radio with your host, Shanae Clements.
No, so, well, remember, you mob, to be involved in any of our events, you got to be up to date with your 715 health check. Now, 715 health check is all about just making sure everything's going and functioning right. And if there's any upcoming kind of issues that you're going to have with your health, usually you'll pick them up in that check. And, you talk to your doctor and your nurse and your Indigenous health worker there as well at your local medical centre. So you also get to cop one of your 2021 Deadly Choices shirts before the year's done. But as I said, Mob, to be involved in any of our events, you've got to be up to date with your 715 health check. Very, very important. Plus, you can head to our Deadly Choices Facebook page to find more information about what we're doing. Remember, there's the I Stepped Up events where you can go and get your COVID vaccine and protect your mob. Plus, you can tune into Deadly Choices Facebook page. There's heaps of live sessions there and some great interviews. like I said, you know, we were talking earlier about Good Quick Tucker, that Petro 7 Aceva is on, and in honour of National Nutrition Week last week, you know, I know I'm mixing it up in the kitchen now, trying to find some deadly new healthy recipes to lead into the festive season. There's also heaps of workouts there with DC Fit. Deadly Kindies do some awesome play groups for the little ones. So make sure you go and give it and give our Facebook a check. But the respiratory testing clinics, they're still up in Southeast Queensland. They're still open. So, you know, if you're experiencing any COVID-like symptoms, no matter how mild, please, please go book in a test. Do, you know, I personally, it's all about just that ease of mind, knowing I can be out in the community and not infecting the rest of the community. So, so important. But for any information that I've yarned about here tonight, you can head to www.deadlychoices.com.au to find out more. You can also head to our Deadly Choices Facebook page and Instagram page to find out, to keep up with whatever we're doing. But remember, you mob, it's tough times out there, you know, and it is also tough times leading into Christmas for some of our communities. COVID's here. It's not going anywhere anytime soon. So we have to be vaccinated and we have to do what's right by our community and follow the experts' advice. Stay away from social media, your mob, when it comes to doing the right thing with this pandemic. But that's me for tonight, everybody. Thank you for tuning in. It's so important that we keep connected in whatever way we can. And until then, you know, you can catch me Wednesday night, 6 p.m. Here on 98.9 FM for our best country. But until then, you mob, keep making those deadly choices.
Deadly Choices Radio. A show encouraging mob to make healthy choices, from stop smoking, eating good food, exercising daily, and getting a health check for themselves and their family. Featuring Deadly Choices ambassadors, the Healthy Lifestyle Mob, and many more. So tune in to Deadly Choices after 6 p.m. each Wednesday and on demand at 989fm.com.au.